talking about? It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Amy Adams.
Hi, Amy. How are we going?
Hi, Laura. Good. You?
Oh, yeah, pretty good. It's a packed show today, so it'll be fun.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Whereabouts in New Zealand are we today?
Today, I'm on a really wet, miserable, freezing cold Selwyn with a southerly front that's going up the country. So, yeah.
Ouch. But, yeah, you're home in the electorate, right?
Yeah, which is nice. It's always a nice thing to be. So I've been around the bottom half of the South Island this time of this week. So, no, it's good to be home.
Mm, definitely. So let's jump in. Fuel tax. You've had a recent press release critiquing Jacinda's comments about the fuel tax. Can you tell me a bit about what your concerns were?
Yeah, well, there was actually a couple I put out this week because both the Prime Minister and the Deputy Prime Minister came out with statements that were actually pretty misleading in our view. So the Prime Minister said in her post-cab that only 6.9 cents of the increase over the last year were from government taxes. Actually, that's totally ignoring the recent hike in excise tax and the regional fuel tax in Auckland. So when you add those in, it's actually closer to around 22 cents a litre. Mm. So we thought that was pretty misleading and minimised the government's role in all of this. And then the other one that the Deputy Prime Minister came out with was he said, well, 100% of all of the petrol taxes are going to improve roads for motorists, which is also totally untrue because, in fact, a big chunk of the money they're raising is being used to put in their tram down Dominion Road, which, as you've probably seen in the media this morning, there's still a whole lot of critics of whether that's the right thing to do. But whether people agree with it or not, it's certainly not true to say that it's all going to roads.
Well, I mean, that's kind of getting into semantics there. It takes people off the roads when there's more public transportation. Isn't that correct?
Well, it's not semantics at all. There's a big difference between road and rail. And if he wants to say it's going to road and rail, that's a true statement. But I tell you what, we're in the rest of the country, we're paying these prices, and it's certainly not doing anything to help our roads. In fact, we've seen $5 billion taken out of the road, state highway roading budget for the rest of the country. So not only are we not getting the benefit of the rail, we're actually seeing a big decrease in the spending on our roads. So I think it goes a long way beyond semantics.
Mm. And you also brought up the Commerce Amendment Bill. What are your concerns about that specifically?
Oh, well, I'm not concerned about the bill. In fact, it's legislation that we started all the work on and we were promoting and this government's picked up and carried on with. So no issue with the bill. But what we're saying is for the Prime Minister to come out and say they're now going to sort of rush through legislation. Well, that legislation has been on the order paper pretty much the whole time they've been government and they certainly could have advanced it a lot more quickly, and they knew they were bringing extra petrol price increases. So, you know, far from rushing it through, it's actually been sitting there doing nothing for a large part of the year. So we're just pointing out that it's a little bit overstating it to say they're now urgently rushing through legislation when the legislation has been sitting there waiting for action for many months.
And why do you think it has been sitting there for so long?
Well, I just think the government has realised that petrol prices going up so high is really hurting Kiwi households, as we said it would. It's totally taking any extra income that a lot of particularly poorer families have. And I think the government's just started to realise later than everyone else that it's a problem. And so now they're looking to look busy, which, you know, they will, of course. But we're saying, actually, you had plenty of chances to put this in place. But the Commerce Amendment Bill, while we think it's a useful set of powers, as I said, it was week kicked off, it doesn't make up for the fact that if you're adding on more petrol taxes, then the cost of petrol is going to go up.
Mm. So, of course, this Commerce Amendment Bill will work to kind of combat the free market that we have in this country around petrol. What are your thoughts on the state of that right now?
Well, we already have actually a pretty good suite of powers that the Commerce Commission can look into anyone who are using their market dominance to control pricing. So we have quite extensive provisions in the Commerce Act already, and we've certainly seen the Commerce Commission use that for things like airport pricing and telco pricing and a number of other ways we've come in and had a look at whether companies were acting in concert to set prices or using their market dominance to impact pricing. What this bill will do is allow them to take more of a market studies approach, and as I said, we think that's a good thing. And look, we welcome that. We've got no issue with it. It's what we kicked off. But I just think that sheeting all of the blame onto the petrol companies without acknowledging the role that government taxes pay in our petrol. I mean, my information is that about half of what we pay in petrol effectively goes through the government. Now, You know, we've always used, all governments have always used petrol taxes to pay for roads. But what we would say is that loading on an extra 15 cents in 1 year at a time when the dollar is falling, and we can get into why I think that's partly the government's fault as well, and petrol prices are going up, is not the right thing to do.
But we do have the highest cost of petrol after prior to taxation in the OECD. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've certainly seen some numbers that say that actually when you look at the world total, it's certainly not as high as is often reported. It is, you know, we are obviously a small country at the end of the world, and I tell you what, getting rid of a lot of gas exploration is not going to do anything to bring down the core price of power. I'd like to see people transition away to electric vehicles and the like, and I think they will over time, but unfortunately we don't have enough of an electricity capacity for that to all happen at once, even if people, you know, wanted to rush out and do it. As I said, so I think it's useful that we have a good look at how the petrol market is operating, and that's why the National Party put in place this market studies piece of work and created the legislation, which Labor is now carrying on with, and, you know, we welcome that. But I just think the government is trying very hard to take attention away from the fact that them putting on two petrol price increase or tax increases in 12 months, and with two more to come over the next 2 years, they're a big part of the reason the price of petrol is going up so high, and they need to be looking at that as well as the petrol companies.
Jumping onto the government surplus. So having a surplus kind of always results in a sideline rhetoric about a pressure on government to remove taxation and use some of that surplus, investing it into New Zealand. Is that your stance?
Yeah, my stance is that governments shouldn't take any more money out of people's pockets than it needs to do its job properly. So the first thing is, I don't think governments should be setting out to make a big profit. But part of what government needs to do its job properly is obviously to provide good quality infrastructure and good quality public services. I don't think you can measure the effectiveness of a government or how much it's doing for the people just by how much it spends, because we see plenty of wasted spending in government. In fact, there was a report out a couple of weeks ago from the Productivity Commission that said that if New Zealand government spending was as effective and efficient as, say, South Korea, we could reduce our taxes by a third and still have exactly the same level of government services. But I don't think it's a simple equation to say, well, you know, spending more is better. It's all a question of how well you spend it. So I think government should try and spend their money really effectively, and then obviously not take any more out of people's pockets than they need. But I think the thing with that surplus that's worth noting, and to be fair, Grant Robertson and the Treasury have said the same thing, there's a whole lot of one-offs that have come through just because of the way the months, you know, cut for the financial year, that they expect to see reverse later in the year. So actually, Grant and I are on the same page where we say I don't think that surplus is necessarily indicative of the long-term state of the economy and the long-term state of the government finances. And so you wouldn't want to get too carried away with the size of it. The other thing is there's a whole bunch of big-ticket capital items the government's already committed to that aren't included in those numbers. So I think it's $2.3 billion for the four new Air Force planes, $500 million for the nurses' settlement, the new build of Waikerea Prison. You know, there's a number of the rest of the provincial growth fund, they've only expensed, you know, less than a third of it. So there's a whole lot of things that they've already committed to that aren't yet showing up in those numbers. So how much they've actually got left to play with, I think, is still a very live issue.
Good thoughts there. But in terms of surpluses, shouldn't they be going to paying off New Zealand's debt?
Well, I'd certainly in time, I think they should. I mean, our argument has always been in National that, you know, we've got a low debt as a country. I don't think we've got a particularly high debt. But at the same time, you know, you want to have a low debt, because when there's an international crisis or a domestic crisis, like we had with the earthquakes, or, you know, it could be any number of things, that's when you want to be able to draw down a bit of debt to keep the country going. And that's certainly what we did under the global financial crisis and then the earthquakes. And we could do it because debt was nice and low. So I am personally a believer that when the economy's going pretty well, that's a good time to pay debt down, so that we're not, you know, spending another $2 billion just on interest costs, for example, but also so that when, you know, when there is a real crisis through the economy, and these things happen periodically, then that's the time you want to be borrowing money.
I mean, there is currently within the news talking of a global financial crisis that could be coming up. Isn't this the time to be paying off debt?
Yeah, well, that's certainly one of the options the government has. And National had a track to pay down debt faster than Labor. Labor came in saying, we don't want to pay down debt at all. In fact, they're seeing... I mean, there's two ways debts are measured, and it gets a bit confusing. One, we talk about debt as a percentage of our economy, so it's a percentage of GDP, mm-hmm. and that is coming down slowly as the economy grows. But in actual dollar terms, like you know, you or I would think about debt when we look at the bank balance, that's actually going up. And so Labor and National differ on that. We wanted to see that debt coming down in the good times, for exactly the reason you say. And we had that built into our numbers. Labor have decided not to pay down debt and spend more. And you know that's a valid political choice. And that's what we argue with them on the in Parliament and in the election process about which set of decisions are right.
I'm going to shift on to the expense leak. So the inquiry for that, it's looking more and more like it's a National Party member. What are your thoughts about that one?
Well, on what basis do you say it's looking more and more like that? I mean, we haven't had the results of the inquiry come out, and we certainly haven't seen the results of anything that Trevor Mallard may have issued that we've seen talk of in the media. So I don't know that anyone can confidently say it's looking that at all.
Well, I mean, Trevor Mallard and his office have kind of been... the search has narrowed, basically. They're no longer really suspected of that leak. So...
Well, I don't know if we can say that because, look, one of the we don't know. We haven't seen any inquiry that Trevor's had done. We don't know who it's been done by or what robustness it had, and we don't know whether it simply said it hasn't found anybody, which isn't the same as everyone has been cleared. I mean, there's every possibility that the report we're having done could come out and say that they can't conclusively find anybody either. So that would just leave two reports that couldn't conclusively point to anyone. So that doesn't mean anyone's been cleared. It just means both would be inconclusive. So look, it's an unknown. I don't know where it's going. The reports have been run by me. Obviously, I haven't seen anything that Trevor Mallard's had done, and who knows what it will come out with. But at the end of the day, it's not something I spend a lot of time thinking about.
Amy, you still there?
Yeah, I am. Sorry.
Oh,
can
yeah.
You still hear me?
Sorry. You faded out a little bit there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No worries at all. So you are very firm behind this. You don't believe that it's someone within the party, correct?
I don't know. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that I've got no way of knowing whether it is someone in the party or not. And I guess I don't agree with your sort of your opening comment that it's looking more and more likely that it was. I don't think I've seen anything that suggests that. So what I'm saying is we could end up conceivably with two reports that both say they haven't identified, you know, proactively identified a source. Mm-hmm. And that could just mean that it remains inconclusive. But I don't think it necessarily points a finger any which way.
Mm. If it does turn out to be someone within the National Party, what do you think the response should be to that?
Well, that's entirely a matter for Simon as the leader. He would obviously want to talk through the issues with that person and work through that. But it's getting sort of well ahead of ourselves. I don't know what the report will come out and say. I haven't been a part of that process. And I don't know what Simon's thinking is what he might do should that come out.
Mm. I'll be very interested to see what happens with that one. I'm just going to ask you a little, not political question, but we're talking about Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, because we're covering it in the newsroom today, I was wondering, do you have any advice in terms of looking after your mental health?
I tell you what I worry about a lot in my area is we have a really high suicide rate of men. And I know for me, I have to be cruel women, but for me, I find, you know, talking to friends and, you know, just sitting down with a good friend with a glass of wine or a coffee and, you know, really talking things through, I find really helpful and cathartic. And I often think that men are maybe not as good at doing that. Perhaps they don't talk things through to the nth degree that women do. The other thing that I always find really good when, you know, when stress and things can get on top of you is exercise, actually. And I'm a long way from a gym bunny, but even just going out for a walk, going for a swim, you know, taking some time out, putting the earbuds on and listening to some music, you know, nothing like it. So those would be my two go-tos, a good sort of long walk away from everything and, you know, a glass of wine and a chat with a really good friend. I always find two staples.
Oh, that's brilliant. Brilliant, Amy. Well, I'll be looking forward to speaking with you next week.
Good stuff. Talk to you then.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
The National Party's Amy Adams on 95 BFM.
The Wire.